Does that dynamic have anything to do with the behavior of particles
I
when
believe
observed?
there's absolutely a correlation, yes. I believe what you're referring to is in physics, in quantum physics particularly, we have unusual circumstances happening. For instance, circuit boards that work perfectly fine, but when we investigate it to see how it works and we realize that's weird, they stop working. And there's no reason for that to happen. And this is science. Or we have a particle that's like split in half, and one's going in one direction, the other one's in the other, and if the other one is stopped by whatever reason or purpose, the other one in mid-process without hitting anything will stop instantaneous. Okay? And this goes on and on and on and on. And in quantum physics, this is all very quirky, but I do believe that there's absolutely a correlation between the two. When you have people who have this doubting state of mind producing this kind of energy, I think it manipulates reality in itself. And it holds things in a certain way versus, the other.
Oh, that reminds me of an exercise. I think it's in Rosicrucian where they actually have these salt crystals that they put under a microscope, and the student is to try to project something out and see what happens in the formation of the crystals. And sometimes they say that they actually formulate in a certain sort of signal or shape that somehow matches their thought projection.
Yeah, well, thought's a very powerful thing. There's a new kind of following it behind this thing with water crystals freezing and such, or water crystals and stuff, and having Buddhist monks doing prayers over them and spiritual people, and the water will take on these beautiful patterns per se. And when negative people are around, they take on these really chaotic kind of patterns. And when they're just random, they just kind of look random. So if anybody blesses it, the crystals in the water per se or whatever takes on these beautiful patterns. Well, I mean, this is again mental process. It goes right back to the circuit board thing, if you ask me.
Now they're finding out with like string theory that on the smallest level of particles actually have a leniency toward whatever, like there's a lot up in the air, nothing's like,
Right.
so it like reacts to
It reacts
energy
to.
per se, maybe.
Right. I think it reacts to will. I do.
If that's the case, if it responds to will, then what prevents a person from affecting their reality?
What I would say is the greater will. And the greater will is the global consciousness of the planet, and the global consciousness of the universe and all living things kind of have a set blueprint of what's going to happen. It's like this. It's like saying your computer has a blueprint how it's supposed to operate, correct? It's got a BIOS, and then it's got your operating system, and then you add programs to it. But sometimes what happens? The programs don't exactly do what they are supposed to do. Now, whether it's a glitch or somebody programmed something wrong, but something doesn't quite work, or you get a weird response. So when it starts to glitch too much, what do? Most people, rule of thumb, reboot the computer in hopes that the master settings will clear the problem and recorrect itself. Okay? Well, that's a simple analogy, okay, and hopefully that people will make sense of that. I believe that the universe has a diagram of where it wants to go. And I believe it's a blueprint, and that's what reality is based upon for this frequency, this dimension. And I believe that on occasion, you have some people who are able to bend the rules of that blueprint. And these are your spiritual masters or people who develop psychic abilities, but somehow they're able to work with it. Do you see what I'm saying? And other times they do things, and maybe later they realize that, gee, maybe I shouldn't have done that because there was a consequence down the road in some other way, which is often what I would teach people. So the point is that I believe that the main programming has a rebooting process that's literally faster than a millisecond, constantly happening. And it's what stabilizes reality to stay in a certain framework. Otherwise, reality would be so dramatically affected, nothing could really exist. So the master frequency is the most powerful. We call it maybe the do, we call it whatever you want, okay? But it's kind of what holds things in a steady process. And it allows us to move in a direction, but it's kind of like a collective direction. It's like the vast majority have to work together. Well, if you think about it, in my mind, it's like if you get like 100 people together and they all have to hold hands or touch each other, and they're like this big circle, and you tell them, okay, you got this big field. Now all of you guys got to run across this field. well, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think this big ball of humans are going to be able to run across that field perfectly? No, it's going to be jumbled and everything. What do they have to do to do this? What do they have to do? They have to go slowly. And as they go all slowly, they all kind of get their groove together. Well, you always have one person, you know, steps on another person's foot or whatever. Well, that's a glitch. And the other people may be affected, maybe not, but they all stabilize it. It's isolated. And that person probably can regroup themselves without anybody on the outer side even knowing it happened. So this is kind of a rude way of describing it, I would say. But the point I'm trying to do is I'm trying to explain what I understand in my mind's eye. Do you know what I'm saying? Is that reality is running on this base process. And if the collective all wants to move in a direction, or it starts to, it's as if everybody will go that way. And I think you could apply almost the same rule of thumb to... on shelter, it's kind of similar, but on a much grander picture, holding everything kind of together. We can change reality, but as a whole. Do you follow what I'm saying? If we don't work as a whole, then there's a bit of a problem. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's kind of holding. This is why we say, as more people progressively become more spiritual, we affect one another. As we affect one another, this kind of thinking progresses. Well, it goes right back to what we were originally talking about. We originally were talking about what? We were talking about people who were able to do miracles at a time period where extraordinary things were claimed. Well, the people were much more simple-minded, perhaps much more gullible. But in some ways, I have to wonder if people weren't able to do more miraculous things because the collective hadn't really formulated so much doubt. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, there obviously were formulations of consciousness going on there, but I don't think it was as developed as it is and neuro kind of set up the way it is. So I do think there's a very strong interweaving of all that. But, you know, so to answer your question is that no one person really can affect it that much. I mean, there's no spiritual person per se who did a miracle and it just stayed that way indefinitely. I mean, when Moses parted the ocean, I mean, it collapsed after. Maybe that was to drown whatever, but he also knew they had to hustle. You get what I'm saying? If you think of the pillar of fire, everything were moments that were really a bizarre moment in reality, but all of them kind of had their blip, and then things were kind of re-smoothed again. I mean, if you think about it, okay? So reality has the master program, and we are able to affect it in certain ways. And there's a remnant of that. There's an echo of that, because it's the mental effect of reflecting on what just happened was amazing. But I think that people have a tendency to fall asleep into the dough again, and then it kind of, they forget about the miracle that they experienced. You know, it's not that they literally forget it, but there's not the sense of deep reflection that holds in there, which we have a perfect example of. I think there was some classes we did where there were some pretty amazing things that happened with me. We had students who, they were all in awe, and 10 minutes later they were talking about, I don't know, tying their shoes and whatever. And the other students said, well, what is the matter with you guys? I mean, didn't you just see what just happened? And they were like, well, yeah, you know. There is an effect, so only certain individuals really can retain that kind of knowledge for any really extended, I think, state of mind.
With the collective consciousness, why is it if, say, 75% of the planet believes that there is a hell,
mm-hmm.
Why is it that doesn't manifest into reality?
Because I don't really necessarily believe that they believe it. Or you could say that there's so many people who have so many different versions of what they conceive hell to be that they kind of negate it all themselves. The other fact is that nobody really has a very good idea of what hell is, and that's what keeps it from really manifesting in that way. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, you can go to the Mormons, you can go to any form of Christianity, you go to all of those other ones, and you really have a basic concept of what it's supposed to be, okay? But nobody can specifically say it's this way or that way. The other thing I would say is that the master program is so much more refined in certain ways that also is what prevents it, because you're dealing now with for the universe, what would be the same to you to say to stop breathing. Okay? It's to say that you could constantly hold your breath, but eventually your body's going to force you to breathe again. Well, the universe has a need for the cycling of human consciousness and to where it's going to go, as I've taught in other stuff, so that it's not going to say, oh, well, we're going to create hell for all of them just because they want to believe in it now. It's in certain ways, it's got a greater program. It's to say that if you want to cut your finger, you could, but it would go against every instinct you have. So it's kind of the same thing. You just can't make yourself stop seeing necessarily. You can close your eyes, but that doesn't mean that you really can't see anymore.